In the second reading today, St. Paul tells us that it would complete his joy if the people of Philippi were of the same mind, the same love, united in heart, and thinking one thing. Now you stop and look at all of the different opinions that people have, the likes and the dislikes that we have, and you say, how is it possible that we can be of one mind, of one heart, of one love? There is only one way, and that is if we conform ourselves to the same person, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, in our society, the conformity, unfortunately, hasn't been to Christ. There is a conformity that's going on, but it's to the wrong way. And there are a lot of people who seem to be in agreement with the wrong stuff. And they're rejoicing in what is wrong. But that's not what we're created for. That's not what we're called to. And so St. Paul then tells us that we have to have the same attitude as Jesus. That only makes sense because on the day that we were baptized, we became members of Jesus Christ. So to conform ourselves to the way that Jesus thinks, to conform ourselves to his attitude, to conform ourselves to his will, to his love, that's who we are. That's not a pie-in-the-sky idea. That's not some cutesy thing that St. Paul came up with and said, oh, wouldn't it be nice if this was that way? No, he's saying, look, you are a member of Jesus Christ. Therefore, you should be thinking like Jesus, and you should be loving like Jesus, and willing like Jesus, and doing everything like he does, because you're a member of Christ. And even if you weren't a member of Christ, you're still made in his image and likeness. And so when we are thinking and choosing in ways that are contrary to Christ, then we're thinking and choosing in ways that are contrary to our own dignity. But if we're going to look at this and say, okay, if I have to have the same disposition as Jesus, what does that look like? Well, St. Paul tells us that he humbled himself. That is not an American virtue. Humility doesn't come naturally to most of us. And in fact, it's quite painful for most of us. Consequently, we don't want it. Remember, one man came into my office one day and he said, you know, I prayed for humility. Never again. So what's the matter? He said, well, look at what the Lord did to me. He said, yeah, he answered your prayer. He goes, right, so I'm never praying for humility again. Like, no, you need to pray for it more. He goes, oh, no, I'd hate to think what he's going to do to me next. We need to be humble. Jesus is God, and he was willing to take on our nature. He was willing to come and be a creature and live in this world and die for us. So what is it that we really think is beneath our dignity? What do we really have to be proud of? We don't. So again, if we can look at it from that way, look at what our Lord did, we can say, well, yeah, but you know, again, he's God. But then you recognize, again, God is perfectly humble. God is perfectly charitable. And in Jesus, we see being obedient. He's perfectly obedient. We teach that to little kids, but somehow we think as adults that that doesn't apply to us. We're all supposed to be obedient to the will of God, because the will of God is what's absolutely the best. You say, yeah, but Jesus was obedient to the will of his Father, and look at where it got him. Look at where it got him. St. Paul says, every tongue in heaven, on earth, and under the earth will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because he was humble, he was obedient, and he was charitable. And therefore, he is exalted above all else. Yes, he is God from all eternity. But he has taken our human nature with him, and it is exalted now at the right hand of God because of his humility, because of his charity. And so again, we look at it in him and recognize this isn't beneath us. If he's going to ask us to do something, or in whatever circumstances you find yourself, maybe your boss is asking something, or maybe your spouse is asking something that you think, you know, why should I have to do that? Can we humble ourselves? Can we do what St. Paul said and say, rather than looking out for my own interests, I'm going to look out for somebody else? That's humility and charity right there. That doesn't mean that you're the Nubian slave in the house. But what it means is just as Jesus took the form of a slave, so can we. By that, what I mean is, again, not that you're going to be ordered around and treated in a way that violates your dignity. Absolutely not. But rather, as a matter of love, a matter of true charity, you're going to say, I am here to serve. A lot of us bristle at that idea. Jesus said, I came to serve, not to be served. So once again, he's not asking anything of us that he wasn't willing to do. He's giving us an example. Now, if we look at the gospel reading as well as the first reading, and we put ourselves into that situation, how many of us said yes to God and then we didn't follow through? Like the kid that said, oh yeah, I'll go out and work in the field, and then he never went. Yeah, we don't really have anything to be proud of, do we? We don't really have any reason to be able to say that we deserve to be treated in a way that's better than this or whatever it might be. Look at how Jesus was treated. He's God. If he's going to be willing to do that, why aren't we? And really think about that. We get so hurt so easily by so many things, and we sulk and we complain and we whine and we groan and we moan and we do all kinds of things over some little thing, because somebody looked at me funny or somebody said something that hurt my feelings. Look what they did to Jesus. Read what they said to him. I mean, really? Somebody said something to you? Look at what they said to Jesus. They said to us is nothing compared to what they said to him. And he prayed for the people instead of condemning them. He didn't whine and complain. He turned it into something good. And he offered it all ultimately for their salvation. We can do the same. Because we're members of Jesus Christ, we have a participation in the work of salvation. We can unite all of these things with him. All these things that we find so difficult, if we can accept them and we can try to be at peace with them, we can unite them with him. And we can actually have a part in salvation. And so you can offer your sufferings for whoever it is that's making you suffer. You can offer your humiliations for whoever humiliated you. But God is going to use it all to make you a saint. If we are willing to accept, then we're going to be able to say, well, every tongue in heaven, on earth, and under the earth is going to glorify God because of us. Not because we were so wonderful and so perfect, far from it, but rather because we chose to cooperate with God. Because if we do that and we can actually make our way into heaven, then God is going to be glorified. Because we were humble, because we were charitable. And it also, in that humility, helps us then to look at that first reading. When the people of Israel were complaining that God's way wasn't fair, why? Because he gave them the law and they didn't want to follow it. And so he said, all right, look, if somebody is living a good, holy life, and they decide they don't want to do that anymore, and so they start living a sinful life and they die that way, they're not going to go to heaven because they died in their sin. But if somebody is living a sinful life, as many of us probably did at one time, and then we get our act together and we start trying to live a good life, the Lord says that person's going to live because they've rejected the sinfulness and they've chosen what's right. Thank goodness God does that, or most of us would have no hope. This is precisely what the humility and the charity and the obedience of Jesus brought about for us, that our sins can be forgiven, that we can actually turn around and we can live a good, holy life, and we can still go to heaven, even if we mess things up pretty badly at some point in our lives. So once again, not only should we be rejoicing in the mercy of God, in the great graciousness of God, but we should also then be praying for others so that they will understand that same thing, that they too will have that conversion that we've had, that they too will want to get their act together, that they will want to stop sinning and start doing what's right. And then when we have to stop and recognize that, you know what, this didn't just happen out of the blue, and it didn't come without a cost. What is it that brought about my conversion? What happened that I left the life of sin and came to living a good life in Christ? Somebody had to be praying. Somebody had to be suffering. Somebody, in other words, was living as a member of Jesus Christ and in charity and humility was praying so that we could get our act together. Shouldn't we then be willing to do the same? When we realize that if we actually got what we deserve, every last one of us here knows where we would be, don't we? And it isn't heaven. If we got what we deserved, we'd be toast, burned toast. So really, if God is going to ask a little bit of humility, is that really too much? If he's actually going to allow us to suffer something, is that really outlandish? That's what had to happen for us. Can we do that for someone else? Can we do what St. Paul says? Rather than looking at our own interests, look out for somebody else. Can we pray for them? Can we offer the suffering for them? Can we have the humility and the charity to be willing to do that? And then to glorify God, not only because we have had a conversion, but because other people can come to the Lord. That is the gift that our Lord is giving to each one of us. Our society doesn't understand this. And sadly, even within the church, we rarely hear it. Oh, you can read the scriptures. It's there on almost every page. You listen to the saints, and they all tell us the same thing. But we want to listen to the talking heads, and we want to listen to Father Groovy, who tells us that God doesn't want any suffering. God just wants you to be rich, and he wants you to have everything good. That doesn't say that anywhere that I've ever read in the Bible. But it's a whole lot easier than listening to what the Bible actually says, isn't it? We're made for the truth. The truth will set us free. So we have to ask ourselves, do I want that truth? Because once again, Jesus Christ is the truth. You're a member of Jesus Christ. You're made for the truth. Do you want that truth? Do you want to have the same disposition as Jesus? That's what St. Paul is asking us to do, that we would be of one mind and one heart in Christ. In Christ. He's not asking us to be of one heart and one mind with something stupid, to be one with God, to actually be what we were created to be. Because we're made in His image and likeness, we're redeemed by Him, we're baptized into Him. This is who we are. So St. Paul is essentially saying, look, if you want to find fulfillment, if you want to find what's truly even best for yourself, have the same attitude as Christ. Be of one mind and heart in Christ. Yes, it's going to lead us to the cross. But remember, the cross isn't an end in itself. It's the means to eternal glory. And so that wasn't only the means for him to get to heaven. That was the means for all of us to get to heaven. And so too, if God asks us to carry the cross, if he asks us to be crucified with Christ, it is not only the means for us to get to heaven, but for all those who will come because of our suffering, all those who we've united in the suffering of Christ. That's the charity, to offer this for others, to unite it with our Lord. That's what St. Paul is asking of us. It's not easy. He's not saying, I'm asking you to have fun. This is going to be entertaining. This is going to be exciting. It's not what he's saying. But what he's saying is, this is what's going to make you holy, and this is what's going to bring you to heaven. So we have a choice. We can have all the fun and entertainment that we want, and we can ask where it's going to lead us. Or we can be of one mind and one heart with Christ and look at where that's going to lead us. And that's what we really have to consider. What direction are we going? And how are we getting there? If we want to get to heaven, there is only one way, because Jesus said, I am the way. And if he is the way, that means for us, we need to conform ourselves to him, to be of one heart and one mind in Jesus Christ.